Good morning, and so glad you're back with us this week. I just want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving and being faithful with your tithe and your offering. Just want to remind you the methods, of course, online. You can go to our website, ncalife.org, and you can give online. You can also mail your offerings in to the church address, and we just thank you for your faithfulness there. Just an announcement in regards to our in-person service. We are looking for June the 14th. We'll begin both of our normal services, 9 o'clock and 10:30, back in person at the church. That is our game plan. Now, I have to say that if something else happens, we may need to change that. But at this point, that is our game plan, and we'll be emailing out more information in regards to that and more announcements next week to come. On top of that, though, something I need to announce is our annual business meeting that we normally have the first week of June is going to be June 14th, also at 6 p.m., at this point, that is kind of set in stone, and that's what we're shooting for. So unless something really catastrophic happens, June the 14th, 6 p.m., in the sanctuary, we'll do all the social distancing, but we want you to join us, all our members, and as we have our annual business meeting. Thank you. Also, I just, on top of all of that, want to thank all of those who are connecting with small groups and are having follow-up discussions regarding the Sunday messages. Could I say, just keep it up. I appreciate you connecting and growing your life in Jesus. Church, there's strength found in meeting together and in sharing God's word together. So I'm very thankful and encouraged by what's happening in our small groups and our care community. So once again, I just say thank you for all those involved. So let's dive into our final message of this series, Have a Jesus-Filled Life. Quick recap, week one, be positive. Week two, be grateful. Week three, be encouraging. Week four, be generous. Last week, be enthusiastic. And today, be confident. Today, I want to talk to those who might be struggling with a lack of confidence, which, by the way, for most of us, is probably true in some area of our life. Almost every one of us is uncertain about their ability to fulfill certain tasks in some area of your life. I would not feel confident changing your transmission or the engine on your car. Now, I might try, but my confidence level would be quite low. Many people feel insecure about their future. Some people feel like I don't measure up. Others feel like, well, I'm not successful enough. But people do not struggle or only struggle with confidence in just what they cannot do. Some struggle with the way they look or the way they feel. I have areas of insecurity, believe it or not. Am I a good enough dad? Am I a good enough husband? Am I a good enough pastor? Am I doing the best I can? What's interesting in all of this is that when we do lack confidence in our life, we try and compensate for our inadequacies. And we do that by convincing ourselves, well, those things really aren't worth the effort. Or worse, we overcompensate and try to appear overly confident and do stuff we probably shouldn't do. When in reality, it ends up just being arrogance. Today, I want to start by looking at three different types of insecure people. And most likely, I've been all three of these at some point in my life and probably still struggle with all three at some point. First, there's the people pleasers. Anyone want to admit that that's you? Then there's the compliment fishers. Does anyone fit into that category? And then there's the one-uppers. And surely that's not anyone listening today. So let's walk through those. So what are the people pleasers? Well, they say things like this. Hey, that was amazing. I'm here for you. Do you need anything? Do you like this? Hey, I like you. Hey, and I'll be here for you. You want money? I'll give you all my money. Of course, that would be a little extreme, but I wonder how many of you know or can think of someone who's probably a people pleaser. Let me move on to the compliment fishers for a moment. That would be the person who posts a picture of themselves on social media and says something like this. I'm not feeling so good about myself today, but the picture of them looks really great. In reality, they're fishing for the, oh, no, girl, you look so good, or you're beautiful, or for the guy, it's, man, you got it all together. Now, others might make comments like this. My presentation was not very good, was it? And all along, they're fishing or hoping to hear, oh, no, it was amazing. Really, it was. In this area, because of my own lack of confidence at times, this could be me sometimes after church. I ask questions like, hey, what did you get out of the message? Or what was there something that transformed your life? Or how did the message come across? And I do all of that because of my own lack of confidence at times. And then there's the one-uppers. How many already know what I'm talking about? The one-upper is like this in a conversation. They hear their friends say, hey, my kid read a chapter of the Bible today. And the one-upper responds, well, that's nothing. My kid memorized the book of Genesis in Hebrew. Or maybe it's something like this. Praise the Lord, I'm getting away for a weekend for the first time in 2 years. But the one-upper comes back and says, that's nothing. I'm getting to go on a three-month vacation and to an island in the Caribbean. For the one-upper, it's always something bigger or better. Someone says, well, I was sick, couldn't make it. And the one-upper has to reply, that's nothing. I had a disease and almost died, and I was the first person who had it. And now they're going to name it after me. Now, of course, I sure hope I'm over-exaggerating all of that, but that's how the one-uppers operate. And in all three of those categories, it just shows how insecure people are. Now, the question is, what is it that triggers our insecurity? For me, I have a pectus excavatum. I know it sounds serious, but it's really nothing more than a sunken chest. Growing up, I've always been self-conscious about it. I don't like taking off my shirt because, you know, especially as a kid, I was afraid I'd be made fun of. And that's just one of all the insecurities I felt while growing up. Probably like most of you, as a kid, really even as an adult, I don't want to feel insecure about things or be rejected because of who I am or what I cannot do. All of us deal with insecurity in so many different ways. But here, what I'm talking about today is the real heartbreaking tragedy in all of this. There are many, and maybe some of you listening today, and you're not living the life that God created you to live because you don't have the confidence you need to serve Him like you want. And you're letting your insecurity talk you out of God's purpose and calling for your life, whether it's secular employment or sacred service for God. There may be those of you right now who are thinking, well, I can't interview for that job or seek that promotion, but it's all because you're fearful of not being good enough. There might be some of you who want to lead a small group, but you're thinking, well, I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough to facilitate leading a group. And if that's true, I want you to know you could be missing out. You're missing out on an opportunity that God may have for you, all because of your insecurity. And it's heart-rending to me when people do not even try to attempt something for God when they feel this lack of confidence. So in our next few moments that we have together, I want to encourage you, be confident. Let me start with a couple of key principles we need to know. And the first one is this: we do not need self-confidence. In fact, today I'm not here telling you you need to be more confident in yourself. That's not what I'm saying. We do not need more self-confidence. What we need is to cultivate God confidence within us. There's a big difference between self-confidence and God confidence. So while I'm talking about being confident today, it's not about confidence in yourself. I'm talking about learning to cultivate a confidence in God and His ability to work in and through us. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 to 12. Listen as Paul is teaching the church. Verse 6. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. Listen to verse 12. So, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Let me read the last two verses, verse 11 and 12 from the Message, and it's paraphrased this way. These are all warning markers, danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You can fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Could you say that last sentence with me? Cultivate God confidence. Church, we have to forget about this self-confidence because it's useless. Instead, we are going to ask God to develop something deep within us, a faith in God, a confidence in God, an assurance in God. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would help us grow in our God confidence so we can be confident in everything you call us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you why we can't be self-confident. Two quick thoughts on that. The first one comes from Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Church, the first reason we cannot be self-confident is this: our hearts are deceitful. That's what the scriptures tell us. And therefore, we have this unbelievable ability to deceive ourselves. A second reason we cannot be confident in ourselves is because our flesh is weak. Paul tells us this in Philippians 3, verse 3. For we, Christians, are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. And put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. Church, you have to understand our flesh is weak. Listen, because our hearts are deceitful and because our flesh is weak, it can skew our personal opinion of ourselves. Sometimes it can lead us to pride and sometimes to insecurity. I don't know about you, but I can be passionate about God for 5 or 6 days and then I'm like, shiny thing. It's like the squirrel thing for the dog. And that shiny thing in this world causes us to lose focus. So we cannot put confidence in our own ability because we're so easily distracted by our heart or by our flesh. And that's why we need to cultivate a God confidence. Now, I believe there's nothing wrong with becoming more confident in yourself, especially if you really understand that God gave you the abilities and the gifts you have. And therefore, we can do those certain things and because we have those gifts or those abilities. And there's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself. But if you really want to max out your living for God, you can't have confidence in yourself alone. You have to put your confidence in God and cultivate your trust in Him and say, not my will, but your will be done. So today, let me give you 3 truths to help us cultivate a God confidence. The first truth is this: my God is always for me. Say that with me. My God is always for me. To cultivate God confidence, we have to recognize that our God is always for us. So many people have an inaccurate view of the character and the nature of God. And the reason is this: people often feel like God's love and His favor and His acceptance is tied to our performance. And so we kind of live this way. Well, I did a pretty good job today living for God, so God will probably answer my prayer. Or the opposite happens. I blew it big time today, and so God's probably never going to hear me again. Listen, church, we all fall short when it comes to serving God. But the reality is this: God is our loving Heavenly Father, and God is always for us. How many of you are parents and you're proud of it? I'm glad you are. You should be. How many parents out there want their kids blessed? Are you for them or are you against them? Of course, I believe you are for them. You want the best for your kids. I want my children to be joyful. I want my children to be healthy. I want my children serving God faithfully. And so I'm always and forever for my children, even when they mess up. No matter what, I always want to support them because I am their father and I am for my children. Just like our Heavenly Father is always for His children. My God is always for me. Say that again. My God is always for me. Paul tells us this in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Church, because my God is for me, there is no power on earth greater than my God. And therefore, I believe He will get me through everything I need to get through. Church, if we can get an accurate view of God, everything changes. And that's why I can say, you can say with confidence, my God is always for me. Church, listen to this statement carefully. We are not living for His approval. We are living from His approval. The prepositional phrase changes everything. Because of Jesus, I'm accepted by God, not based on what I do or what I do not do, but based on what Jesus did for me. I have God's approval because of my faith in Him. My God is always for me. Listen to Hebrews 10:35. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember what? Remember the great reward it brings you. The reward of heaven, the reward of being the redeemed, the reward of one day meeting our Savior and Lord, who is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, my Savior and my God who is for me. Because if God is for me, then who can be against me? Say this again with me. My God is always for me. A second truth is this. My God always helps me. Say that with me. My God always helps me. Somebody probably needed to hear that today. Hear the author of Hebrews and what he says in Hebrews 13, verse 5. You've heard it. He says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Many times we, of course, quote this verse and we end there, but you need to hear the next verse, verse 6. So we can say with confidence. What can we say with confidence? We can say, the Lord is my helper, and I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Church, there's something amazing that happens when you have a powerful helper to remove fear. Now listen, I like doing fix-it-up jobs around my house. And sometimes I get in over my head. But several years ago, in fact, 23 years ago, I built my own house. I couldn't have done it, though, without a powerful helper. You see, I was my own contractor, and when all the framing was done, I kind of took it from there, and I put the shingles on the roof. I did the electric and the plumbing and all the flooring and the bathrooms and the kitchen and the painting and so on. But I needed a powerful helper to do all of that because I was afraid to do it alone. So I called on my best friend, Al Woolen, who lives in Canada, because he knows how to build houses. And when he showed up, all the fear of how to do things and how to get everything done in proper order and good timing was of no concern because now I had an expert. And he gave of his time and effort and poured into me and walked alongside of me. He was my helper. And all because Al, a master builder, was with me, I had no fear to try anything. And so, think about it. If the master and creator of the universe is with us, then we can say, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. I don't know about you, you might be stressed out, but you need to know God is your helper. Church, God stands ready to assist us. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's a term attributed to God in Psalm 33:20. It says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The term, He is our help, in the Hebrew is the Hebrew, Jehovah Ezer, which literally means God, my helper. Let me tell you something. God wants to help you. I know that many times we cannot see how God is helping us in our situation, at least many times not until we have hindsight. But you have to trust that He is true to His character and true to His word, and He will help you. And knowing that, you can say with confidence, "My God always helps me." In fact, listen to one more passage from Psalm 46, 1. It declares, "God is our refuge and strength," listen to this, "an ever-present help in trouble." Listen, God is ever-present with you. He's with you right now, walking with you, maybe even carrying you. So put your trust and your confidence in Him. The first two truths were these: my God is for me, and my God helps me. And the third truth is this: my God is still working in me. Church, God is still working in our lives. Listen, none of us are perfect or even good. Not me and not you. Romans 3:10 reminds us of this. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And that's because of our sinful nature. I cannot put my confidence in my own abilities, but I'm confident in God and that He is still working in me. Now, this next scripture ought to encourage somebody. Philippians 1:6, listen to this. Being confident of this. Say that with me. Being confident of this. Say it one more time. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Church, God is still working in us. Someone needs to take that to heart. Though we mess up, though we're not perfect, God has not given up on us. We need to understand God is still working in our lives. Like the little children's song I grew up with says, God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. So it's okay to say, my God is still working in me. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what all the voices of insecurity are saying to you. But I hope you heard today that you can have a confidence in God. You can be confident that our God, who began a good work in you, will be faithful to carry it to completion. Why? Because God is for you, because God is helping you, and because God is not finished with you yet. And you need to learn to make these declarations. My God is always for me. My God always helps me. My God is still working in me. Put your confidence in God and be confident that He is at work in you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the truth and the power of Your word. I pray it would transform our hearts today. I pray that we would have an unshakable confidence in Your character and in Your nature and in Your faithfulness. I pray that we would live out the divine calling that You have for each and every one of us. God, for those who might be incredibly discouraged today and insecure, I pray they would be able to put their confidence in You. Lord, would You keep working in all of us until the day You take us home? Have Your way in our lives and Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. There may be those of you listening today and you're not confident of where you stand with the Lord. I want you to know you can have a full confidence and a full assurance that He saves. Jesus is our Savior. You can put your trust and your faith in Him today and make Him Lord of your life. Know that Jesus paid for your sins on a cross and that He 3 days later rose from the dead. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you will be saved. And if that's you today and you need to surrender your life to Jesus, then would you pray this with me? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. Make me brand new. Jesus, I believe you died for me and you rose again so I could live for you. Fill me with your Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, church, for the past 6 weeks, I've been talking about how to have a Jesus-filled life. Let's keep working at knowing and serving the Lord more. And those who have maybe just became a child of God today, listen, welcome and keep growing in the Lord. By the way, each week through this time, every statement that we've looked at began with the word B-E. And the statements again were be positive, be grateful, be encouraging, be generous, be enthusiastic, be confident. God would love for each of those things to be active in our lives so we can be who He wants us to be. Our mission statement here at Northfield Christian is bringing people to Jesus Christ and equipping them to be like Him. B is for bringing and E is for equipping. I hope I have helped equip you to grow in Christ. Listen, B, E. B, bringing, E, equipping. B, the church. Keep being who God wants you to be. You know what? I pray that you really will have a Jesus-filled life. God truly bless you.